B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
O'clock hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Story on The Athletic. Reading a lot from The Athletic this week on the show, are we not? Getting a lot of work around here. What's that?
Someone's working here.
We're digging deep to find stories.
You know, they laid off staff this week over there, too, I saw.
Jeez.
Here's a story on The Athletic today. Silence is complicity. Theo Epstein speaks out on racism and inclusivity. Here's what he says about executives in baseball. And I'll read from the story. Since the Moneyball era began, front offices have been filled with white men with degrees from elite universities. The Cubs are no different. Current special assistant to the GM and president, Jaron Madison, who has held both the title of farm director and amateur scouting director during Epstein's tenure, is the lone black person in the upper levels of the Cubs baseball operations department. That's a failure that falls primarily on Epstein's shoulders. Quote from Theo, "The majority of people that I've hired, if I'm being honest, have similar backgrounds as me and look a lot like me. That's something I need to ask myself. Why? Can I insert something else?" He's even hired guys that sound like him. Remember when Ben Charrington was general manager?
Yeah.
You could barely tell the difference between them.
Yeah,
same mannerisms.
You play Casario now, too. He starts sounding like Belichick more and more. You end up morphing into the person you work with.
He says, "I need to question my own assumptions, my own attitudes. I need to find a way to be better. I think if we all take that approach in this industry..." We need to. If there's one thing we've learned with systemic racism in general, the system doesn't fix itself. It's on each of us to take action to stand up and make those changes. That is from Theo Epstein with the Chicago Cubs now. Has one person in the front office there. I assume, this is just a broad assumption, I assume that every front office is just like theirs. Is that going too far?
No. Especially in that sport, no.
And I think it's only going to get worse with the direction that the sport is going. Like all these, you know, nerds from, you know, elite universities that hire all their buddies from the elite universities.
Right.
Are baseball front offices filled with baseball people anymore?
It's a mix of people.
I mean,
you still have to have, like Theo's... at least old enough. I know he's a young guy, a young GM, but at least he's old enough, I think, to branch into that. Well, this guy can play. This guy can. It's not just all about the numbers. You know, I think
absolutely.
A little bit of that, you know,
yeah, I would agree with that.
He gets it. But there are guys that are just, you know, numbers guys and percentage guys, that don't look at the player, right? Like, what do you want your sport? Is that the way you want your sport to trend? And that's another thing from a minority standpoint. How many guys want to be managers? How many guys want to be front office guys in baseball? Maybe it's more than we know about. And maybe that's the ignorance that Theo's talking about, too. Like maybe it'll open your eyes enough.
You were saying, Hardy?
No, I don't know what it's like from like team to team around the league. But, you know, I think there's a tendency just for human nature to gravitate toward and end up being around people that you have similarities in and interest in. Now for Theo,
you're comfortable with,
I mean, and it's a comfort level, but you know, it's just this innate sense of like, okay, you know, I see in this person something in myself and there's a relatability there and let's get down to work. And you know, that's who you gravitate toward. And you see it in all walks of life. You see it, you know, from early ages in schools, you know, where it's like, you know, and I don't know what it was like when you were in school, Beetle, but there were like, you know, there were certain kids who would just stay with certain kids. And, you know, there was no one making, you know, like all the computer geeks sit together. There wasn't any you know rule that all the black kids were going to sit at one table specifically, but that is
it happens.
It's something innate in our nature, and you don't get rid of it. And if it's something you want to change in an organization, you have to be like you have to be able to A, recognize it, and B, also convince yourself that, well, this isn't in the best interest of the team or the whatever organization you're dealing in. We would be better off with some diversity here. And I don't just mean like in people of color, but it's like, all right, let's get some different ideas in here. Let's get somebody in here who doesn't look, think, and talk like me, because how is that going to push us, to the next level? How's anything going to change? How are we going to get better if you're just surrounding yourself with people who think and act like you do? Like, what are the odds that someone's going to come up with some kind of, revelation that you didn't think of if you're only hanging out with people who are just like you? So I don't know what the motive, if he goes into it to that detail. I read it, but it seems like that's what he's trying to come across here, not as a means to just like, oh, look at us, look at this, we have an Asian person now. Now we have, two women here, and we have no. If you really want to get some new ideas and like a free flow of ideas going, yeah, it seems simple, but an easy way to start was just, all right, let's have something other than 40-year-old white dudes around here. See if that gets some new ideas going.
Yeah, and I just think more broadly too in baseball. When you look at the sport, the number of African American players has steeply declined. Last year to start the year was under 8%, and it was. I remember reading a story last year. Last year marked 30 years since Ken Griffey Jr. had broken into the major leagues.
Wow.
And the number of African American players following him in the start of his career, you would think that number would go up, right?
Yeah.
Go back to like the Chris Rock, what's black is cool and baseball is not cool. And you would think that watching a player like that, a generational talent, would increase the number. In fact, it had been cut in half. It was half of what it was when Griffey entered the league in 89. 30 years later, the number was down to half. So it did not impact the number of players that were playing baseball. So baseball's losing on that front on all ends. They're losing players. They don't have the front office. So it's an interesting sort of issue that they're going to deal with, because all of these things are now being examined, and even self-examination on the part of Theo. So that was in The Athletic today, 617-779-0985. If you have any thoughts on that, we welcome them. Patriots coaches are not going back to work until training camp. Well, not exactly. Not going back to their physical place of work, Gillette Stadium. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Hey!
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
There are people calling for you to start cooking something in that air fryer.
We can do that. We can advance our shows. Let's move on here. Do different recipes. Experiment.
I mean, just to show it off, maybe tomorrow, so you line something up.
See, the coolest thing about this is it's like one of those mini drones. You like that BB-8 drone in the one of the latest Star Wars?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's to be like your little friend. Put two little eyes on there.
Yeah, line friend, up man. Something to cook in there game tomorrow changer, to show people. It off.
Game changer. You know what I might think of doing?
What?
I might try meatloaf. A mini meatloaf. Now, we got crabs sent to the house today. We got 3.5 dozen crabs we're going to eat later. Blue shell. But I wonder if I do a mini meatloaf in here with potatoes, wedge potatoes, celery, and carrots sprinkled around it with onion. I think that'd be a nice little meal.
Why 3.5 dozen?
You can only order... by the dozen or half dozen.
Okay, but why do you need that many? I mean,
I don't know. Heather ordered it. What do you want me to do?
I don't. How many people are eating?
42 was the right number, not 41, not 43.
Not 36.
And most definitely 36.
I could easily take down 12 myself.
Now, if you're going to order 48, that's way too much.
Yeah, I think 36 is a little light. I think 40 is a good number.
All right.
Mm. Got the butter, got the mallets, the crackers, corn, little Old Bay seasoning.
Is this it? You get the Old Bay?
little buttered milk, buttered melted butter with a little vinegar in there. Oh, it's so good.
Mm.
Mm. I think I might do a meatloaf in here tomorrow during a show. We could do burgers.
Don't tease us. Don't say you're going to do it and then don't do it.
Kibasi links.
Okay. You at home, Zoe at home, as are the Patriots coaches. They're not going to go back to work until training camp. And when I say go back to work, they're not going back to their offices. They're staying home until training camp. What do you make of that?
It seems like they're in a rhythm here, and they've learned to work from home. I heard Brian Flores talk about this, too, down in Miami, that while it's kind of eye-opening how much time you actually get with your family and kids, and maybe they like this because once they're back, they ramp up. You know, you don't see your family. You go to camp, you sleep over, you're in a hotel, and then that's basically go time. This is the new league this year, and it's different. And I think they're going to continue to be different until it starts. I just think that, you know, they got enough teaching in place, and hopefully they got enough guys working out together. That's the big thing to me is, and you asked Bruce Arena this yesterday, like, you can really tell which guys haven't done anything, which guys haven't. He's like, sure. Same thing for football, even more so. It's going to be interesting to see these power guys up front, too. How are you squatting 500 with no spotters, you know? They were working out. They were getting together to work out is what you're going to end up seeing.
Jim McBride was the one that reported it. His tweet said, Patriots coaches will not have to report back to Gillette Stadium until training camp, according to a league source. They will still hold virtual meetings. Also, most of the club's vets have completed their offseason meetings, though some will continue meetings with rookies. So the young guys will still have some meetings, but right now it's off until training camp. I mean, this is the time of year when the NFL sort of has their break before training camp, right?
Right, right.
This is sort of a downtime.
Yeah, it's about a week after the June mini camp. So you have your mini camp at the beginning of June, then you go for another hard week, and then boom, they turn you loose for the rest of the summer until you report for camp. They give you your weigh-in. Here's the weight you need to hit. Like, great. I need to lose weight while I'm on vacation. Thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, this is your time off now. This is when Bill would normally go to Nantucket. Maybe he likes working from Nantucket. Maybe he's not even Nantucket. Maybe he is. Who knows? But it seems like their system, or however they designed it, they like what they're doing, and I think they feel like they're getting something accomplished.
As we said yesterday, means they have a good setup, too.
Yeah, like Ohio State's back today. What you're starting to see, and you look at Twitter, the big schools, everybody's starting to report now. Now you're back on campus. So you're getting athletes in. I don't know how they're doing it, how they're sequestering them, but I'm sure they have certain dorms they're keeping them in once they get there, and they have to sort of hunker down for about 10 days. And then you're full go. So just going to be interesting to see where they handle sidelines and other personnel. You know, at some of these schools. And it's something that the NFL keep an eye on, too. So whatever's happening in the college games, I'm sure the pro guys are taking a peek at it. It's going to be sort of a teaching tool for as you reincorporate yourself back in at the end of July next month. That's next month, man. Jesus. It's coming.
617-779-0985. Open phone lines for you. You want to grab one now on anything that's been going on today, including air fryers. Which really lights the people up, so really does. Really gets
like
the people. Yeah. Really gets the people going. Jim, do we want to go to Brandon Bolden audio that you pulled from yesterday?
Sure.
Your guy? Why? What'd your guy say? That's your guy. Did he really stare you down in Minnesota? I don't remember that clearly.
Let's start with that because I have
a stare down.
I don't recall that.
I wouldn't call it a stare down.
That's what you called it this morning.
That's what you called it this morning, and I have zero recollection of it.
You said he wanted to fight you in Minneapolis, and we're like, we don't remember that.
What? Like, what? So apparently we were at a restaurant in Minneapolis.
It was an odd restaurant. It was a Mexican surf shop.
It was outside the restaurant in the mall. Yeah.
Okay, so we weren't in the restaurant?
No, we were on the either on the way or on the way out, one or the other.
There's a candy place across the way there. Do you remember it?
I don't remember. I don't. It was on the second level, though. You have to go up. You have to go in the elevator and
up
go
the
up
escalator.
A level, right?
Yeah. Okay. And I remember going to dinner there with our old boss and his wife, right?
Yeah, we went there a couple times. I think once for drinks and once, I can't remember which time it was. I just remember we were on that little platform that's above that first level of the mall.
Okay. Yeah. So we went there, and we ran into Brandon Bolden?
A couple players were coming back. They just must have just gone shopping because they had some bags in their hands.
Well, that's all those guys did that week. They were staying in the
mall.
What
else are you going to do? The
their hotel was
outside.
In the mall.
Yeah.
And I just remember Bolden with the dreads looking over as we were walking by.
He said, "There's Beetle. I want to kill him."
And he was upset with me? Was the
that's what Jim said.
Didn't we were talking about that? How look at they must notice it's Beetle. Beetle hates Bolden.
Hates a strong word.
They hear everything.
That's a strong word.
It dislikes his skills on the field. It dislikes how valuable he is to the team.
Like he's very valuable.
Okay. All right.
Or the value that the coaches assign him or whatever. Whatever
that's
you want to say.
About, it's more about the coaches than it is about Brandon Bolden himself.
So here's the thing. Why is he talking right now?
So this is another part of the story that fascinates me. He's talking to Patriots.com, like totally, you know, normal, right? Patriots player talking to the team website.
Team website,
on what is a podcast that I'm sure, you know, airs on the Patriots.com feed of sorts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why are you listening to this, Jim?
So
This is the part that blows my mind. That
you have a podcast feed on your, like, on your phone, right?
Yeah, I don't
go to the
use
podcast
it often,
app.
I do have it. Yep.
Okay,
right,
I subscribe to a million podcasts. A lot of sound we get from the show is from the podcasts I'll listen to or I'll scroll through. I do all the shows on a station. We have our own feed on there. Our podcast you can get there. So the Patriots is one of them. And anytime they do an interview or they do a conference call or a press conference, they put it in the Patriots feed.
Okay.
So that's where I listen to a lot of the conference calls and the press conferences. I can listen to them in the car on the way to work or on the way home or whatever.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So Brandon Bolden popped up. I said, oh, Brandon Bolden. Beatles passionate about Brandon Bolden. It's only five minutes long. I'm going to give it a listen.
So this was a one-off? It was isolated as an interview with Brandon Bolden?
I think it was just a website interview, like a video, like a Zoom or something that they turned into audio for the podcast.
No, this sounds far more acceptable than like you listening to hours of Patriots.com stuff.
I'd seek out anything I think we can use on the show.
Well, that's producer Jim. Yeah.
And you thought there was one particular clip that we should be using on the show.
I thought this was funny, and I thought it was funny how quickly he had an answer to the question.
Okay, let's hear it.
When you look at this Patriots running back group, you see depth, you see experience, you see versatility. How would you describe your group as a unit?
I was talking to Rex about this the other day. Jelly beans. You just reach in the pack. You don't know what you're going to pull out. You don't know what you're going to get. You might have an exploding pack one day. You just never know. I'm actually the oldest one, so it's kind of weird for me. I've never been the oldest guy for this long in the room. So it's refreshing. They keep me young as well. They keep me on my toes. I'm excited. I can't wait to see how the season goes.
Good stock jelly bean footage from NBC Sports Boston.
There's a problem here. When you randomly reach into a jelly bean bag and you pull them out, there's only like two or three flavors you're going to like.
It depends on how much you like. It depends on
how I don't want the lime. I don't want the licorice. I don't want that white one. What's that taste like? Mint or whatever. I don't need the fancy crap. I don't need the joke skunk one that you're going to put in there. Give me yellow. Give me red. Red could be spicy, too, though, depending on which red one you get.
Well, it depends on what brand of jelly bean you're...
What's that fancy schmancy one? It comes in a box with the little pockets. What's the name of that one? It's a fancy one. It's expensive belt jelly beans.
Brock's?
No. Never put it in an air fryer. It's in a long square box, and they have little pockets that they put... each individual flavor in.
Jelly Belly?
It's labeled. What is it? It's Jelly Belly. Yeah, it is.
First of all, I never thought of those as jelly beans. I think those are too small to me. The Jelly Bird eggs, as they're sold, I always thought of as jelly beans. Second of all, is that how the Patriots treat their their running back core. Just as stick your hand in there, whatever pops out, we'll just use that on this particular play. Or focus on this guy. This guy will be the closest thing we have to a featured back that day just because we stuck our hand in the jar and that's what we came out with. I mean, I understand he's trying to say that there's a lot of variety there, but there's a reason behind the usage of those guys. So that, I don't know. And he didn't come up with it right on the spot. He said that he was speaking with Rex about it the other day.
They already talked about it. This is already a thing. Like they've already described themselves as jelly beans.
He is married to this jelly bean metafor, and he's not coming off of it.
It's like the boogeyman.
I'm just going to tell you, don't make T-shirts yet. Don't do it. The boogeyman went out and made T-shirts, and then went...
jelly bean backs.
I want to know how Beetle feels about Brandon Bolden being this entrenched in the running back room. We view him sometimes as a special teamer.
Leader.
No, he's the guy.
He's working out. Hey, dude, this guy's a workout nut.
Yeah.
It's a good guy to be leading your workouts. Should be happy about that, Beetle. Beetle?
Oh, his mic's off. That's why. He turned his mic off mid-segment.
Oh.
What do you mean? I'm here. 2012, I was just looking up which year it was that the PED suspension had happened for him. So, yeah, I mean, workout nut. Go nuts. Yeah. Workout.
You're bigger than McGuire and Sosa thing. Just take it and go. Let's go. Come on.
No,
I selectively
use it against.
No, you can't use that. No, you're going to be consistent. It's one big thing with you. You like to be consistent.
You know, consistent with your views.
I'm
never against PEDs. Never. But I think they're, you know, when you brag about being a workout nut, like, okay, relax. I look at that group and I say, Michelle is, I like, but he should be better than he is. Rex Burkhead should have a better Patriots career than he has to this point. Injury's a big part of that. Damian Harris is looking like a draft bust. James White, can't say enough good things about him, so I'm going to leave him out of this. Brandon Bolden, overrated. And the other guys, well, we'll see what they got. So,
yep.
Mike Tannenbaum called them the best running back group in the league.
Best group in the
league. Based on what?
Best running back group in the league, he said.
Different skill
sets. Like what?
Sets.
Based on the fact that the fourth guy on the depth chart at running back?
They all can play.
Can actually like run the football. What is it? What does that mean?
I would guess it means if he's a GM, he'd rather have that group than any other group in the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
He's a former GM, right?
Yes.
Is that not the strength of this team on offense?
Okay. Would you rather have the Patriots
Tannenbaum.
Running? Here we go. Let's just do this. Would you rather have the Patriots running back group or the Carolina Panthers running back group?
Patriots as a group.
I don't even know who the guys are behind Christian McCaffrey, and I'm taking the Carolina Panthers.
That's just one guy. Say that one guy goes down.
I have no idea who's in the group. I don't give a crap who's in the group.
So you'd rather have one really high-priced running back than a whole group of guys like the Patriots have?
Not necessarily high-priced. I'm just talking about the quality of player.
Okay, well, that guy's going to be high-priced.
Well, he wasn't high-priced last year.
One superstar guy is going to be high-priced versus the other guys.
Not if he's on a rookie deal. Not if Sony Michel is as good as he's supposed to be. You'd have Sony Michel right now. Where did they draft Sony Michel?
First round.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So if Sony Michel had sort of lived up to what his hype is, and by the way, that's not to say he's bad, because I'm not one of those people. I think some of the criticisms around here from Val Grimaz have been way over the top, but like that's the whole point of drafting a guy in the first round, right? You sort of use him up.
Yeah.
And you use up that rookie deal, and you have a great running back, and then you're supposed to say goodbye is what you're really supposed to do. Like the Cowboys with Zeke Elliott, you're supposed to say goodbye.
No, they
you're not supposed to turn around and pay the guy crazy money, you know? So, no, I'm not talking about the money or the contracts. I'm just talking about, was that factored in when Mike Tannenbaum said they have the best group in the NFL? Was he talking about money and value, or was he talking about talent?
I think he's talking about talent and totality. 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 + 5. Like, what's that add up to for you? Put a grade on each guy.
Yeah.
That's probably what he did.
Except you can only hand the ball off to one guy on each play. So that's...
He's a jerk anyway. He's the one that told me, hey, Parcells wants to see you. I'm like, oh, great. Bring your playbook. Great.
Who, Tannenbaum did?
Yeah. Yeah, he was GM at the Jets at the time.
We got one more segment of your calls. Hardy has headlines. Today's takeaways at 1:50.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, B. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just,
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hit me one, hit me twice, I get five in a bowl. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, so I heard Hardy's, back doing his normal routine, his normal work. Might be looking at some new music beds to add into the rotation.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's what I hear. Nice. I offered up a suggestion the other night.
What'd you say?
Receptive to it.
Yeah. You want to try it out?
Do you want to roll it,
Jim? Oh, sure. I can even roll it from here.
Oh, you already did it?
No. I can play the song, though.
You got to queue up that certain part and make an edit there and all that.
Why?
Because it will sound better, and that's what I know you do. You do that type of work.
Yeah, do it.
You do it right. Standards.
I think you can roll it from the beginning, though, and have a pretty good idea.
Oh, do you think Zoe will be able to know it from the beginning?
No. Okay, we're good. Starting right here.
Yeah, I guess you could.
Get Zoe's take on this. It's going to kick in right now.
When it kicks in, it's good, though.
Estate and show history.
What do you think, Zoe?
Just like it sounded like some beach bar band. Like, man, some dude cranking on a beach bar. Flip-flops, baggy shorts.
That's a beach bar sound to you?
Just a boom, little 311.
Beach bar you hanging out at?
A lot of wah-wah pedals there in the beach bars.
Wah-wah-wah-wah.
I think it's going to make the cut.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the Clash, but it's close.
Quincy guys. Oh, my God.
I threw a new one in there yesterday. I don't think you guys caught it.
What is it?
I happened to be in the car, and I heard this is the number one song in the land for 2 weeks straight.
Were you listening to Rick Dees?
Okay. Yeah. All right, Casey Kasem. But these are like Ryan Hardy Seacrest. Does like the official ones.
The ones
that are placed in the system officially.
What is the number one song in the land right now?
Yeah, in all of the land, in all of America.
God, is our music sucks.
This is just the instrumental.
Jim loves this stuff.
You know why? Because Jim's kids like it. Jim has to play to practice and stuff.
Yeah.
That's how he gets the girls' softball team
This
excited.
Works, though. What is this? I know this song.
Doja Cat.
Oh, yeah.
Say So.
Yeah.
Hardy, you mentioned that sound, the songs of summer. Jim was talking about it earlier.
Yep.
I'm telling you, Blurred Lines may have been one of the biggest. I know Timberlake had one. The Call Me Maybe was there, but... That freaking year Blurred Lines hit.
Yeah, quickly fell out of favor, though, once everybody found out it was a complete and total ripoff.
Yeah, but
nobody liked it after that.
It was initially a good video,
yeah,
and that song stuck around.
It was
months.
A really good song the first time around, too, when James Brown did it. Wasn't it James Brown?
Marvin Gaye,
thank you.
He had a little flair to it, though.
Yeah, but it was...
The kid did. The kid had some flair to it.
They ripped off Marvin Gaye. You can't do that.
I got that feeling. See, this one got shoved down our throat. I was into it, and it got so overplayed in a matter of 2 weeks. I got that sunshine in my pocket, yeah. Yeah.
I like how when...
I went and saw this concert with another dude, and we were like right next to the stage. You're like, hey, look at two old guys dancing. That's got to be my... Nope, not us. Uh-uh. It's my buddy.
Robin Thicke, when he got caught, I think Pharrell Williams was also the producer of that. They basically admitted that they ripped it off. I mean, I think they went to court and they offered up some sort of defense. I mean, it went to a jury, but still. Like in interviews, Robin Thicke was like, basically.
That was Pharrell Williams?
Yeah. That produced it, that put it together for him. Robin Thicke
did the video and all that,
was,
right?
It was Robin Thicke's song. But I think
Pharrell Williams and T.I.
Yeah.
Produced it?
The songwriters are Robin Thicke, Pharrell Williams, T.I., and it was produced by Pharrell Williams.
Yeah, Pharrell Williams was in that song, too, wasn't he?
I thought he was in the video. I thought that he was the black guy in the video. Yeah,
yeah, he's in the video. I remember that.
Pharrell Williams is in the video.
Yeah, they had to pay $7 million to the estate of Marvin Gaye for that one. Which, when you think about it, you think they made more than $7 million on that song?
Oh,
I don't know what I don't know what a song makes anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what they make off streaming as opposed to sales and all that stuff.
Right? Who knows? But that's what they—that was what they had to pay out. So, Evans and
The jury found Thicke and Williams, but not T.I., liable of copyright infringement.
Well,
the unanimous jury awarded Gaye's family $7.4 million in damages.
Wow. Yeah.
That's.
You want to cross T.I.? I mean, that time they showed up at his house and it was full of guns.
Nope. Wow.
No.
Not mess with him.
Evan and Braintree, last call of the day for Evan. Go ahead.
What's up, boys?
Hey.
Hey, Zoe, quick question.
What?
Do you keep that air fryer on your counter all the time?
Yeah.
See, that's part of the problem. We got one for my mom. She didn't have any counter space. She didn't even have cabinet space. It ended up in the basement. And then it's like...
It's so big, though. Like, if you could eliminate... Like, what's your mom have? Like, a toaster oven, probably a toaster next to the sink?
Yep.
Where does she have, like, a crock pot? Moms love crock pots. I'm sure that could fit down underneath.
That's in the cat. She loves to cook. She's got everything.
Does she have a pantry where you can put this on the bottom for her? But, I mean, I think the more you leave it out, the more you use it. Because, like, all our kids use it. Well, we use it. I just leave it out.
That's a legitimate question, though, because that's the issue in our house. Somebody doesn't like stuff left out on the counters. The only thing the only things that get left out are the toaster, coffee pot, and the other coffee maker, and that's pretty much it. All other appliances have to be put away at all times. I would leave it out. I think it looks nice.
I think it's space age, man.
That's right.
My kid digs it. Like, hey, it's easy. It slides in and out. That drawer slides in and out. Nice.
Yeah, just save it.
You know who's going to buy one of these now if he doesn't own one already?
Beetle.
No.
Love? Did you already order one? What?
Why would I say that? Why would I say
I
that about
know.
Myself?
Who's gonna get one?
Think about it. A man who loves gadgets.
Oh, man.
Tony Maz.
Now, if he doesn't own one, man, and he's heard this conversation today, dude is going to buy one ASAP.
He'll be texting me.
He texted me yesterday. Show.
What is what do you put in that? Like, what kind of food scoop cooking it? Like, food, any food.
He texted me yesterday a picture of his smart key that arrived. Key smart.
Mm-hmm. He got that?
He got one, yes. Of course. Of course. Heard me talking about it? He bought one. Heard
he's
me talking about Drinkworks?
Angry,
he bought
angry
one.
Italian guys. He's always in those street fights. That'll be good for him.
We'll get to today's takeaways right after this.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, today's takeaway is brought to you by our good friends at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. 6 locations locally. They'll set the menu up for it. They'll virtually coach you at home, give you free support for life, and a lot of the foods can be cooked right here in your air fryer. Check it all out at awaken180weightloss.com. Summer's here, folks. Drop that weight up to 8 pounds the very first week. All right, before we get to the takeaways, did you guys see the picture's floating around about Fight Island, the artist rendering of it from Abu Dhabi, and Bert tweeted it out. It looks awesome.
Yeah, I just had that.
Fight Island.
Right, the last update there, and it's in part of the United Arab Emirates there, and they got 4 events scheduled for July.
Look at the yachts pulling up to it. It's just like Party Island, water park, everything. It's awesome. Bert Breer, he put it up on Twitter earlier, so.
That was not where I thought it was going to be. When you think islands, you don't think Middle East.
It's called Yaz, Y-A-S, Yaz Island.
Yeah, the situation, Yaz.
Stop.
Yeah. So this is a place that was already built, though, right? This is not something they built for this.
Correct. They just converted into Fight Island.
All right, so it's like a resort that they're now going to use.
Yeah, it's a party. Right.
Gotcha.
It's like you go on those cruise ships. You go to those islands with the zip lines and the big parties and, yeah.
Why is there a Warner Brothers water tower there? Is that like Warner Brothers Studio over there?
Like, yeah, that's Warner where Brothers they made all the Bugs Bunny cartoons. A lot of people don't know that.
A lot of people don't know it was made in the Middle East.
Chuck Jones is from Abu Dhabi.
It's kind of like Kid Park. And
we've got time.
I can't even talk.
Yeah, it's all right. We've got time for one thing here, and it's Pecker problems. Okay. That's what we're going to get to.
Probably when they built the house, they used the wrong materials. That sound like they used pecker wood, which they put up there for the corner board.
No, the hybrid, is it a pecker swallow or a swallow
pecker? It's a swallow pecker. It's the hybrid bird. Also protected, you need the permit from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I don't think it's funny. I think he's got a real issue here.
I can't believe we've done a half hour on that.
I can.
Do the kids?
I can.
Do the kids
I
like? Can. Do the kids like it because they're cute? Do they go out there and try and stroke the pecker?
They don't care.
They try and befriend them.
No. Why would they want to touch the pecker?
Because they're cute.
It's a wild animal.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while, I mean, every
you can't keep a good pecker down. You know.
So, when he perches himself, is he off to the side or is he erect?
Oh, he's more erect.
Okay. Well, those types. You gotta get him down.
Oh, boy. Yes.
What happened to one eye? Did you get to the one eye pecker?
We didn't know. That was an add-on. That was the add-on. So,
yep.
When you had the pecker problems, though, didn't you hang the CDs? Or is that something that you got told to do and never did it?
I did hang them, and they did not come around. But the CDs in the wind, they blow, and just it's doesn't look good on your house.
Well, Felger Maz referenced this a few weeks ago with the pecker problems. And Maz said the Mylar strips would accomplish the same thing.
Mylar strips, huh?
I don't know where you get strips of Mylar.
I've got a pecker problem, but the problem is it's not against my house. It's in a tree that's right on my property line.
How do I
fix that? It just sits up there and bangs on the wood, you know?
Sounds like it's a problem with your neighbor's pecker.
The tree is in his yard, not mine. Well, but it hangs over my yard, and, you know, there's a pecker hanging up there. We're back tomorrow at 10.
You handle that yourself, Beetle. Do not pass that along to your spouse. Never let your wife deal with the neighbor's. I won't even finish it.
Yes. We're back tomorrow at 10. Have a great afternoon. Felger Maz next. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.